Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you need him every hour? All of you are stupid and ignorant. You are. I am stupid and ignorant. I mean, you think about that song. That song, isn't that song even kind of telling us that? We need him. We need him when we're brushing our teeth in the morning. We need him when we're driving to work. We need him when we're washing the dishes. When we're talking to our children, we need him. We need his wisdom. Lenny and I were talking here just a couple minutes before the service started, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I basically said, you got it all figured out? I just changed this mic, and now this mic is cutting out on me too. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
Lenny's got it all figured out.
Yeah, Lenny's got it all figured out. Just go to Lenny, we're done. No, I was just messing with Lenny, you know, you got it all figured out, and he just kind of looked down, well, I said, do you have anything figured out? Well, this is the attitude that we need to have in our life. We need God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 7, 8. He put it this way, speaking of the wisdom of the world in his day. First, he's talking about God. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. We should fear God. For among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instructions of idols is but wood. Now this is talking about the wise of the world in the days of Jeremiah. Not just anybody and everybody, but those who are sitting in king's houses. Those who other people look to. Those who are supposed to know what they're doing. And Jeremiah says of them, they're but stupid and foolish. And he mentions the instruction of idols as but wood. And I would imagine in his time frame, maybe he was picturing this idea of people actually putting up idols of wood, idols of gold, idols of clay that they maybe put on their mantle and maybe they go to and they touch it or they speak to it in some way. These false gods that they look to and thinking, this is where I'm going to get my information from. For us, what would you say our false gods is? Those of us who don't actually have something like that. Our false gods maybe is pride, right? Our own pride, our own power, seeking of success in the world. All of these things that we're self, right? Chasing ourself. All of these things compared to God, they have their place, don't get me wrong. They have their place. But all those things compared to God, we're all simply stupid and foolish. It's important for us to understand that. The wisdom of this world is but foolishness compared to the wisdom of the one who created us.
Amen.
Do we need to remember that? God created us. The wisdom of the world is but foolishness compared to his wisdom. And we are reminded, only the simple find wisdom. Only the simple find the wisdom that originates with the one who created us. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me, it's also going to be on the screen. Our main text this morning is Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. Only the simple find wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. He's speaking wisdom as if it was a thing, as a person. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Lynn, would you ask prayer on the Word of God this morning?
Heavenly Father, it is so easy for us to be drawn into the world, little rock stars, politicians, athletes, regardless of how they think, what they believe in, we put them up on a pedestal and we follow them. Our children really do that. It's not good to follow man. We need to follow you. We need to know who you are and realize that you are wisdom. You are the Creator. You are the one who loves us. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. How many books are out there, you suppose, that are written about finding wisdom in life? About all the different subjects, right? About what to eat, what to wear, where to go, what job to get, how to get the job you want, how to go, what college you should select. So many words of wisdom that are out there. And listen, I'm not suggesting that there is not some value in whatever it is you're dealing with at the time, that you may need to go and look at some external sources. But I want to tell you, first and foremost, we need to start here. That whatever it is that we are attempting to do in our life, it should at least have its root in seeking God in the midst of it. In the first few verses here in Proverbs, we're told that wisdom has put out a formal invitation, sent out messengers, and we're given this sort of a visual, maybe of a of some type of a temple being built, setting itself up as if wisdom was a thing. And the writer treats wisdom as if it's a person. And I don't know if you noticed it, it mentioned it as a she. Ladies, you suppose it's coincidental that the writer chose to use a female voice concerning wisdom? So wisdom has built her house. And he mentions seven pillars. And again, I don't know what the significance of that is, but this happens to be a temple that's in Egypt, and it also has seven pillars. It's given this idea that some people are going to false gods and seeking wisdom. Of course, the writer of Proverbs here, I think it was Solomon, you don't know for sure, but the writer of Proverbs is here saying, listen, I've got some wisdom over here. And so he's giving you this idea. There's not really a temple that he's suggesting that you should go to. He's talking about going to God, but he's putting this image in your mind of this seven pillars set up, and there's food, there's a banquet put out. And I don't think it's talking about a worship kind of banquet. In other words, a slaughtering of animals to offer up to God, but he's talking about a banquet as if you're going to feast on it. Get this idea of coming and feasting on God's Word, reading it, It wasn't even Jeremiah, I think, spoke of eating it, eating the Word of God. Wisdom has prepared a banquet. The invitation is offered. There are advertisements being put out. There are people proclaiming in the streets. The idea is, he's saying, it's not that hard to find this wisdom. You don't have to spend years and years in a college. You don't have to have been raised by the right family. You don't have to be living in the best parts of the city. You don't have to be born a certain color or speak a certain language. The invitation is for all. It's there. It's simple. It's not hard to find. And as a matter of fact, and you see, he's actually saying, only the simple truly find it.
Amen.
Only those who view it from that point of view. It's not to say that someone who's extremely wise in the world can't find it, but can you see they got to start off first with this view that they're simple. The offer is to all. Socrates, a Greek philosopher who lived in the 5th century BC, is credited with saying this. There's a lot to this. I've thought about this many times ever since I found this quote. The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. Isn't that what Lenny and I was talking about in the beginning? Maybe we weren't thinking about it as being wise. We're actually thinking about ourselves as not being wise. But here this Greek philosopher is saying something that I think the Word of God is saying. True wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. Starting with this idea that I don't... And you think about it, truthfully, if you want to learn anything, I don't care what it is. If you want to learn how to input information in a computer, if you want to learn how to drive a jet plane, fly a jet plane, if you want to learn how to be whatever you can think of in your mind, whatever it is you have to set in your mind, don't you at least have to start with, I don't know. I don't know. And there's a humbleness in that. I imagine there's people that you know, and we all wrestle with it to some extent. We don't like that idea of saying, I don't know. I've worked with people before that just, they think they've got to have it all. They've got to have it all figured out. Listen, I've been there too. It's easy for me to point and talk, but you got to have it all figured out. So therefore, when I'm doing something, I want to act as though I got it figured out instead of just simply saying, I'm not really sure here. I need some help. Can you see, in order for us to get the wisdom that God wants us to get, we've got to start there. Matter of fact, I would suggest we need to stay there. I just don't know. I need help. This is a very important truth in finding any kind of wisdom. You got to start out with, I need it. You got to want it. You got to seek it out. The Bible tells us here in Proverbs that wisdom, in a sense, is put out a shingle. It's not hard to get started. You and I will wrestle about what is right in the eyes of God for me today, and what I do, and who I spend my time with, and where I go, what job I get. We wrestle about all these things, and I know that. I know that's true. So have I. But isn't there a lot of things that if we take the moment and we just say, how would God have me respond in this? And if we recognize the commandments that Jesus gave us that we could all memorize, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. What did he say about those commandments? Everything is wrapped up in those commandments.
Amen.
Now I know you look at, well, that's not, I want more. But do you understand, so many of us, if we hold to those two things, how much of our lives is going to be so much more simpler and so much more honorable, not only honorable to God, but also bring peace in our lives, than if we simply start with whatever issue we're dealing with and look at those two commandments of Jesus. I'll even simplify them even further. Love God, love people. Love God and love people. If you're loving God and loving people, what you did was right. I think it's what Jesus is saying. I think we overcomplicate it sometimes in trying to find what God would have us to do. Can you see why, in a sense, the Bible's telling us we need to be simple-minded? James, in his book, puts it this way. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Here's James, many years later, telling you, if you want it, just go ask for it. Just go ask for it. How many times would we admit maybe we didn't want to ask our parents about something? I should know this. I'm growing up. I'll just do it myself. We don't want to ask our boss, right? I should know this. Especially we don't ask our coworker. I've been there. I had a coworker a while back I worked with. I'm telling you, that guy did know everything. I mean, he was good at everything. I didn't want to ask him. I shouldn't have to ask him. I should be able to figure this out. Can I tell you honest something I don't want to tell you for a minute? There were a few times that he directed me to do something, and I did the opposite just because I wanted to show him that I could do it my way. And there were a few times I regretted that decision. What a dummy. Am I the only one that wrestles with that sometimes? Be simple-minded and just say, God, I need your help in this. And James just said, God, it's like he's standing there the whole time thinking, when are they going to get this? I've got the answer here. And it's like if you're a mechanic and you need a 3/4-inch socket, right? And you're trying to use the wrong size and you're wrestling with it, and the whole time he's standing behind you, you know. And we just sit there and wrestle with the wrong wrench, the wrong tool, and we get mad, beat on the equipment, right? And the whole time, God is standing there. Listen, we got to be simple-minded. In order to receive God's wisdom that He wants us to give us, we got to be simple-minded. And listen, the door is open. He wants us to have it. Leave your simple ways, in other words, when you're trying to do it your own way, and walk the way of insight. Forsake them. Put them behind you. If you've been ignoring the ways of God and found your life faltering, I'm telling you, this morning is a good time to just say, I'm going to do the simple route. I'm going to simply go to the one who created the universe, or as Lim said, threw the stars into the sky. I think he probably knows. Leave your ignorant ways of seeking wisdom apart from God. Turn to Him and find your pathway. Your pathway lit up. And about midway through our text this morning, the conversation switches. He's speaking about wisdom and about its offering out there. And then he starts talking about what wise people do, making some comparison between wise and ignorant. First of all, he says the wise receive instruction. It is wise for you to receive instruction. That may seem like a simple thing, but again, as I mentioned to you earlier, I'm not always there. Sometimes I don't want instruction, even though I need it. Amen. You ever been traveling and someone is trying to tell you, wait a minute, I think we turned right here. No, I got this figured out. Is our the only family that sometimes wrestles a little bit on the directions to get places? What is it about our human condition that we don't want help sometimes, even though we absolutely need it? Do you see, in order to be wise, and that is wise in a good way, we need to be able to receive instruction. If you're at a point in your life and you think you've got it all figured out, then you don't need to be here this morning. I want you here, don't get me wrong, but you don't need to be here. I hope that you at least recognize that you came here, that you do need something. And we need to be reminded that all of us go empty-handed when it comes to going before God and seeking direction in our lives. And if we're honest with each other, all of us would admit that we all still wrestle with this problem. Otherwise, why is it in the Word of God? And why is that pastor speaking about it this morning? The wise are ready to receive. Again, the wise, and in the eyes of God, and the way we're thinking about it this morning, the wise are not the ones that know it all. As a matter of fact, I would suggest they might imply that they don't know anything to some extent, because they recognize that anything could change, that more information can change their view. In our Bible study recently, we were talking, and maybe I've said it on Sunday morning too, and I think it's important for us when we're seeking the wisdom of God, when we're looking to the Word of God, that we need to attempt the best way we can. Listen, we're all biased. Well, we're raised a certain way. We read a certain Bible. We heard, listened to certain preachers. We have our own parents or adults who raised us. When we pick up the Bible, we put a lot into it because we already have in mind what we think it's going to say. And we look for things that agree with, that say what we already agree with. That's a part of our human condition. But I would say, if you really want to find the wisdom of God, then you need to open it up every time as if it was fresh. Yes, I've read John 3:16 many times. But let me read it for a minute and just simply try to listen with simplicity. The wise don't have it all figured out. The wicked just plow ahead, making their own path and ignoring the destruction that's left behind them. That hurts themselves, hurts their families, hurts their communities. I'll have to admit this morning that I'm a bit of a loner sometimes when it comes to making decisions. Sometimes I like to make my own path, as I mentioned. I had a boss one time that I worked for, and his desire was, if he was going to ask you to do something, well, tell you to do something. If he was going to tell you to do something, he was going to tell you what shoes you were wearing, what hat you would have on, what collar the wrench you were going to pick up, and how many steps you took as you were heading to that job. That's how detailed he was. And I'm telling you, as I sit there listening to him, inside I was just tearing up. And when I went to that job, I didn't even enjoy anything about that job because he so tried to direct everything I was doing. I don't like that. And listen, I don't believe God is attempting to reach you in that way either. I think there's a lot of freedom in what God is attempting to do in your lives. We're all different. We all have different callings. We all have different experiences. We all have different opportunities. I don't believe there is any Christian who you lined up their lives that would be exactly the same. We're different. But we need to all start with the simple basis of, I don't know, but listen, I know someone who does know. And that's God.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that we don't go and ask help from others. We might ask our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, social media. You go to these places, and listen, I understand that, but whatever it is, always keep in mind, where's God in this? Where is He in the midst of this wisdom that I'm seeking it at? That I'm seeking out. There's nothing wrong with being independent-minded, but always start with the What would honor God in the midst of this decision? Some, it seems, never learn to seek wisdom from God. Sometimes it seems like maybe they can't hear from anybody else. But listen, I want you to understand, and I think you all know this. If you ever listen to the radio or turn the TV on or turn your computer on or open up your smartphone, the world is trying to shove wisdom in our face. It's trying to tell us what to wear, who to talk to, who to vote for, what community we ought to live in, how we should treat other people, what we should buy, what should make us happy. We're continually being bombarded with these things. That's why it's so important for us to always think for just a minute, let me put on my God eyes first. Where's God in this? How would God instruct me in the midst of this? Filter it all through God first. In the morning's text also, we're warned about giving direction to the one who will not receive it. We can find ourselves banging our head against the wall trying to give wisdom to somebody who will not receive it. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 7 verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. I like the King James when he said, swine. Don't throw your pearls before swine. The truth is, maybe you've been there, where you're trying to help somebody. You're trying to give them wisdom. You're trying to give them direction. The reality is sometimes it's best just keep your mouth shut. If they're not listening, you're not doing yourself any good, you're not doing them any good. And it may be somebody you love and care for.
But there's a time and a place to keep your mouth shut for the benefit of you and the benefit for your family. Remember, I had a friend of mine. Christian friend of mine. He was going to visit his family. And he knew that something was going on in the midst of his family that was improper, that was immoral. And it really ate him up. And he just thought, how do I go there and not talk about it? How do I not go and attempt to resolve this? This needs to be resolved. This needs to be fixed. And I read him this scripture. I said, listen, there's a time and a place when you should keep your mouth shut. You might be the wisest person in the room, and you have all the answers. But there's a time when you give that wisdom out, and you just created a hornet's nest, and you've done nothing but hurt yourself and hurt everybody else. I know that's... can you see that we need to be humble in our giving out of wisdom, too? We don't just walk around, you know, when we got something figured out. Listen, I hope you do have some things figured out. I married my wife, and I'm going to stay with her until she's gone, until I'm gone, until we're all gone. Talked about going together in a fiery crash. I've got that figured out. We talked about what are you going to do after I leave, or you know, what am I going to do after she leaves, vice versa. And I always just said, we're going to go together in a fiery crash. Don't matter. I've got that figured out. I'm not wallowing that around, but there are other things I don't have figured out. But just because I have that figured out, do you think I got to walk into your living room, stomp around, and say, this is the right answer? There's a time and a place to keep your mouth shut. Benefits you, benefits. It is the loving, caring God thing to do sometimes to hold back wisdom. It is. The challenge is figuring out when that's true. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, this Christian thing's not easy, is it?
Amen.
It's not easy. But it's worth it. It's worth the effort. We got to work at it. We got to work on ourselves. We got to work on others. I'll tell you, 90%, maybe 99.9% of the time, you know who we need to work on? Work on ourselves. Once we get all that figured out, then maybe. But again, when you are offering, just be aware there's a time and a place to offer that wisdom. Attempting to educate the foolish is a useless thing at times. The wise, he also mentions something interesting, I think. And it's something that kind of goes against our human thinking, right? If you're a wise person, you'll give out wisdom and everything will flow your way and everything will be wonderful and everybody will like what you have to say. Sometimes when you're wise to yourself. Maybe everyone around you will totally disagree with what you're doing, but listen, and if that's true, then maybe you need to check yourself, right? But you don't check yourself with those around you. Well, my cousin doesn't think that's right, so now I'm just not sure. If everyone around you is going a different direction, yeah, you should check yourself. But where do you go to check yourself? Back to the wisdom of God. Does this honor God? Does this fit within the two commandments that Jesus has given me? But just accept that sometimes when you're wise and you are doing the absolute right thing, you may be very alone in the midst of it. But notice that the writer of Proverbs also says it's truth about being foolish too. You make the foolish decision, it might be very well alone too, especially if things go sour. That's when you really find your friends, right? Sometimes we're going to be very alone in our wisdom. The only wisdom worth staking your life on is found in the Lord. That's where true wisdom begins. The wisdom that will bring you to the resurrected life that Jesus died for you to have. He wants you to live the resurrected life every day. If you think about that moment that Jesus came out of that grave and those people who knew Jesus and knew him well and hugged him and talked to him and ate with him, you imagine that sense of relief when he came out and they saw him and they talked to him and how they began to see things differently when they realized that death is not the end, that whatever we're dealing with is only short term. We are called to live a resurrected life, and part of that is us choosing to recognize, humble ourselves, and being simple, and simply doing the things that we know are right before God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Something interesting to me on this text that just hit me this week, and I know I've seen it many times. But I will say this. The fear of the Lord is not this shaking fear, scared to death he's going to show up. It's talking about a mighty respect. Especially when it comes to wisdom. Shouldn't we respect the one who hung the moon and the stars?
Amen.
Give him a mighty respect. But the thing that I found was interesting is this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. I've said this before. Everything in your life is not in this Bible. I've searched. I've not found COVID-19. I've not found anything in this that told me how I should, what education I should pursue. I just think this is the beginning. This is a start. You know, when we think about serving God, sometimes I think we think about it from a mathematical equation, right? Here's Jesus. Here's me. I stand next to Jesus, and all of a sudden, 1 and 1 equals 2. Therefore, this is how everything will work out. Everything should work out. Everything goes this way. My whole life is all laid out before me. All I got to do is know, you know, which lever to pull. It's this mathematical equation. You know, let's think about it. You know, I really think it's meant to be in a whole different section of the college. It's in the art section. We start with honor. If you're loving God with all your heart and soul and your mind, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself, isn't there a lot of room there for us to paint different pictures if you think about our lives as a different picture?
Amen.
And you see this beautiful tapestry that's going around in this world. God has intended us. Listen, I'm going to come alongside you. I don't think God intends for us to follow Him robotically and just do, yes, always honor Him with your life. But listen, not everything's in here. He's given us a lot of freedom. We can pick and choose many things in our lives. And it's meant to be a beautiful thing. A beautiful journey. A beautiful journey not only with you and God, but also with those who are in your family, your communities. And I think if we hold tightly to this reality of knowing that our wisdom starts with Him, and we embrace the reality that listen, serving God is going to be different for you than it is for your next door neighbor, and maybe even for your spouse. Maybe even you all are different places to some extent in how you see God. God is so much bigger than how we want to put Him down into a mathematical equation. And so is it true about serving God. This is the beginning. This is the start. This is the kickoff of a life that's meant to be an adventure. It's meant to be adventure. It's your choice on how you choose to see that. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We all are before God stupid and ignorant. I'll close you. I want to close with just these quick verses. I'm not going to give you a long explanation about them, but I just want to close with this thought that James says that I think kind of wraps it up. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such. I like the way he says it, such and such. You said you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Just this generic stuff that you're talking about, that you're wrestling with, that you're worried about. You said today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You're going to be doing business in your perspective, in your life. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. You're all fussing and wrestling and all this stuff. You think you got to get everything figured out. He says, listen, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life for you a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes? And instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. You want to live the resurrected life. I believe we need to hold tightly to the reality that we before God are simply stupid and ignorant. We need His help. We need it daily. And whatever it is that we choose to do in life, we need to start with, God, where are you in this? Help me to honor you in this decision. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wisdom you've given us in this word. We ask you to help us, each of us, to humble ourselves daily and go to you and receive what it is that we need so that we can in turn not only honor you but also find the joy that you intended us to have in this resurrected life that we're living. Lord, if there be somebody here that's wrestling with something that's frustrating them, I ask you to help them to truly give it over to you and to trust you in the midst of it. Give them the strength to make the right decision, Lord. A decision that will honor you and bring about something that will bring them peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll close with a song. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Speaking to your heart in any way this morning. Maybe you're concerned about somebody else. You came here and your heart is burdened and you want to pray for them. This is a wonderful time. Maybe you yourself are realizing that there's some things in your life that maybe aren't going the way you sense in your heart they ought to be. Maybe this is a good time for you to truly take a moment and ask God if there's something that you need to do differently. Start doing or stop doing. And maybe it's just a time that you want to praise God and thank Him for how He's brought you here today and what He's brought you through. Let's all stand and sing softly and tenderly. this morning. I can tell you, as is often true, the message that I give is something that I need to hear. I need to be reminded that I don't have it all figured out. Sometimes she tells me that, but I need to hear it elsewhere as well. I love you. I hope you don't mind I pick on you once in a while. I had a pastor friend of mine used to, he claimed he would give his kids $5 every time he used their name in some way. I didn't offer that for my children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come to this house. The voices you've given us to speak love towards one another. The minds that you've given us that we can embrace your truth. Help each of us to be humbled. Humbled in such a way, Lord, so that we may in time be lifted up as you want to lift each of us up. Help us to find that resurrected life. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Hope you all have a wonderful week.